turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to the New Testament book of Ephesians. One of the letters from the Apostle Paul. And this one is directed to the church at Ephesus. And we're going to go to chapter 6. And we're going to start at verse number 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Some familiar text. And I hear pages turning. If you have your place, let me hear you say amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read here this morning. I'm going to read verses 10 through 20. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. Pray also for me, that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly, as I should. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, this prayer of Paul's is also my prayer here this morning, that the gospel message, that this morning, that I will declare it fearlessly, as I should, as your representative, as an ambassador for you in front of these people, Lord. Only one way to do that, and I hide behind the cross, and I ask for your guidance, I ask for your leadership, and I also ask that lives be transformed here this morning, Lord, because of what your word says. And I ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. I'll just be honest with you here this morning. I do have all this written, and usually I read what I wrote. I don't know if that's going to happen here this morning or not. So I'll just go on Holy Ghost power here this morning, and let's see where we end up. How's that sound? We're in a sermon series titled Sin. It's a place, it's a period, it's a price. Sin will take you to a place you don't want to go. Will make you pay a price, keep you there for a period of time longer than what you want to stay, and make you pay a price you cannot afford. What have we learned in this series so far? We've learned this, that there is evil in this world, and God has allowed that evil to exist. It was the sin of pride back in the Garden of Eden that made man fall. And because of his fall, we have all of us have inherited a sinful nature, or what is called the human condition. Satan is the father of lies. We know that. And guess what he wants to do to us as believers? He wants us to fail, and he wants us to fall. He wants us as believers to make God look bad. And his primary weapon for doing that is deception. And he does it very well. And if deception doesn't work, he uses doubt. And then he uses discouragement. And then he uses defeat. He does not want us as believers to make God look good. And he's really good at what he does, because he disguises himself as an angel of light. And sometimes in the lives of us as believers, he succeeds far too often. Then when we do sin, we learned this last week, we are subject to God's just discipline. And in His sovereignty, He could discipline us any way He chooses or not even discipline us at all. He might give us a consequence, a punishment of some sort, and we read about some of those from Old Testament examples. Or His way of disciplining us as Christians who are failing and not doing like we should, He could just withhold a lot of blessings, and we'll never know what those withholding blessings could be because we never get them. So in summary, there's evil. We still fall into this trap because we are still humans. When we do fall into the trap, God disciplines us. It seems like it's a snowball that we can just never come out of. And if the devil is behind all this, how can we prevent the devil from winning? Sometimes he just wins way too often. In my life and in your life. And we don't want him to win any more than he should. We don't want him to win at all, do we? And here in Ephesians chapter 6, we have the answer to the question. How can we prevent the devil from winning in our lives? The Bible tells us this, that we as believers need to put on the full armor of God. The full armor of God. But before we get into talking about the specifics about that, let's talk a little bit about the book of Ephesians, the entire book. Why does Paul, the Apostle Paul who wrote this, why does he leave the armor of God to the last chapter of this book? And I believe he leaves this to the last chapter because it sums up in a very nice way what he has taught us in the first five chapters of this book. So let me give you about a 3-minute rundown of the book of Ephesians, going from chapter 1 all the way through to chapter 6, verse 10. In chapter 1, we are told that we are saved because we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. This salvation has been predestined by the Father, made possible by the sacrifice of the Son, and guaranteed by God the Holy Spirit. The entire Trinity is involved in our salvation experience. We learn that in chapter 1. We also learn in chapter 1 that this free gift that He's given us has been lavished upon us by the Father. I like that term, lavished. That means He really, really wants to give it to us. Chapter 2 tells us that we were once dead in our trespasses. And we were not following God, we were following the prince of the air, little p, prince of the air, and that would be Satan. And we were once children of God's wrath. But we were delivered from that. We were saved by grace through faith. And it was a gift from God. And now we are one in Christ. Moving on to chapter 3, it tells us that we were saved because we heard the gospel message that saves. And then going into chapter 4, it says that there is unity in the body of believers, that everybody who is in Christ, that we belong to this body of believers as one called the church. By the time you arrive at the end of chapter 4, however, Paul is instructing us. He says, okay, now you know all this. Now we need to act as people who have been changed. Chapter 5 begins by telling us that we need to be imitators of God because we are now His children. We need to act like Christ. And I'll just be honest with you, sometimes that's a little difficult. And we know that Satan's out there trying to prevent that from happening in our lives. But he says that we need to be imitators of Christ. He says we need to strive to do the good and we need to abandon the bad that's in our lives. He instructs husbands and wives how to act. He instructs fathers and children how to act. And he instructs masters and slaves how to act. He goes through this whole beautiful process. And then we get to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And by this time, Paul has shared these important and immense truths about God. That we have been given a free gift from the Father. This gift of eternal life. He has also shared that the evil that we used to be once a part of has been, we have been delivered from that, and we are now one in Christ. And then he says this walk that we're on, this journey as Christians, needs to be a demonstration of this transformation that has happened in our life. So I ask us here this morning, well, that's great for the Ephesians. What about us? Do we realize those three things in our lives today? Let's kind of review them here a little bit. How often do we really meditate that we have been given the free gift of eternal life? The free gift of salvation from God? Do we truly understand what we have been delivered from? Do we realize that we used to be children of God's wrath over here? That we were actually puppets of Satan, and he was the prince of the air, and he had us exactly where he wanted us? And therefore, is our Christian walk a true reflection of that gratitude? Are we thankful for what God has delivered us from? Do we realize what we have? How often do we meditate that we are saved? How often do we realize what we could have been, and we still see people and loved ones that are in that position now? And the third thing, to act the way Christians should act, to take that walk. The Apostle Paul knows that the Christian walk is not an easy walk. And I believe we know that too, don't we? It's not an easy walk. When you try to walk the straight and narrow, it's not an easy thing to do. And Paul tells us this, that we need to take a stand. We need to take a stand against the evil forces. So the question is this, twofold. How do we take the stand, and who are we taking a stand against? Or who are we taking a stand for? I think this is pretty easy. We're taking a stand for God and Jesus Christ. Amen? We know that. We're going to stand for Him. When we go out into this world, that is who we represent. But what do we take a stand against? And this is our first fill in the blank in the bulletin. It would say this. Our adversary is the devil and not other people. Our adversary is the devil. It tells us that there in Ephesians chapter 6, and I believe it's verse number 12. It says that our adversary is the devil. Now, just to give you an example, and just because I like to pick on Greg, let's just say Greg and I are at odds. You know, Greg is really acting like, he's really acting like the devil, okay? And he's trying to really get to me here. And I get frustrated with Greg, but I really can't get angry with him, because I know who is infiltrating his life, and I know who's taken over, and I know who's trying to make him act very ungodlike. So my battle isn't with Greg. My battle is with the devil, the forces of evil out there. And that situation could be reversed, because just ask my wife. I'm not the easiest person in the world to get along with, okay? But the devil can sometimes use us, can he? He tries to work through us. He might, and he often does, use people just like us, even Christians, to carry out his deception. But that is not who we battle. We don't battle people. We battle the forces of evil. Paul describes the devil in this passage as the rulers, the authorities, and the powers of this dark world out there. And trust me, I think it's getting darker day by day by day by day. Don't tarry any longer, Jesus Christ. Come on back anytime now. And he also describes the devil as the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. And I'm just going to take an aside here, because I don't have this in my notes. I don't know if it would be a good thing or a bad thing to see what's going on in the heavenly realms. I think there's battle going on out there that I don't know if we'd want to see that, or if it's best if we just don't see that. But there is a battle going on out there, and we cannot see it. We do have an enemy. And he's an enemy that we cannot see. But we do know that he's there. Amen? Amen? We do know that he's there. And if I might give us some sound advice at this point in time, let me say this. If you say, well, I don't know, I've really never had a battle with Satan. Don't go looking for him. Okay? Don't go looking for Satan, the devil, the demons. Call him whatever you want. Trust me. He will find you. And you'll know it when he does. Here's just a few titles and a few job responsibilities, if you will, for the devil that I've found in the Bible. Luke 11:15, he's the ruler of the demons. 2 Corinthians 4:4, he is the God, little g, God of this world. Ephesians 2:2, he is the prince of the power of the air. And Zechariah 3:1, he opposes God's work. In Matthew 4:6, he perverts God's word. In 1 Thessalonians 2:18, he hinders God's servants. That would be us. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, he hinders the gospel message. In 1 Timothy 3:7, he snares the righteous. And in 1 John 5:19, he holds the world in his power. And lastly, 1 Peter 5:8, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. And that could be us. That could be us. He is a foe that we certainly need to know how to deal with when he starts striking. So do we really think that if the devil is all this, do we really think that we can take on this guy all by himself? You know, there was a song back in the 80s. Okay, I'm going to go back to my rock and roll. And remember the song, Hit Me With Your Best Shot? You know, I think it was Pat Benatar. Hit me with your best shot, fire away. You know, come on, Satan, bring it on. You know, I'm ready to battle you. Don't ever do that. Don't do that. Because he might hit you with a shot a whole lot more powerful than what you can do on your own. Stress the words on your own. Which leads us to our second fill in the blank. Because we can't do it on our own. Our second fill in the blank would say this. We battle this foe not in our own power, but in the strength and in the might of God. Don't think that we can get up there all by ourselves and take on this enemy. We have to have the power of the Holy Spirit within us, plus the armor of God on us, if we're going to defeat and defend ourselves from this force. Spiritual battles are fought with spiritual weapons. We don't fight the devil on our own. He needs to be fought with weapons of the spiritual nature. Which leads us to the armor of God. We find 6 items included in the full armor of God, as Paul says it. Let's talk about the physical side here first. From the physical side, and this is the way they are listed in the Bible. First, we have a belt. It's the belt of truth. We have a belt. Why? You know, I can't help thinking that as he goes through this, there's a belt, a breastplate, boots or shoes, some kind of footwear, a shield, a helmet, and a sword. You know, those are all items that Roman soldiers would have been wearing at that time. Now, you got to remember this. Paul probably saw a lot of Roman soldiers in his times. And also this. There were times when he was imprisoned, he would have been chained directly to a Roman soldier. He would have got to know a whole lot about them, about a lot about what they were wearing, why they wore these different things. And I also guarantee this. Could you imagine that Roman soldier being chained to the Apostle Paul, and all you heard was the gospel message all day and all night, and how good God was? I guarantee the Apostle Paul, God used him to transform a whole lot of Roman soldiers. I could just see the next guy. Oh no, not me. I got to be chained to this guy, you know, for another 24 hours. And all you heard was how good God was. Hopefully there was a lot of lives transformed there. But let's talk about that. There was a belt. You know, the tunics that the Roman soldiers wore there were just like a one-piece thing. It had 3 holes in it. A hole for your head, a hole for your 2 arms, and you kind of just draped it over top of you. And what would happen was, you know, this thing would flop around, just sort of like a woman's dress. And when you're in battle, that's not the best thing to have going on. So you put on a belt which would secure all that and keep that from this tunic that the soldier was wearing from kind of flopping around, which gave you a whole lot more versatility as a soldier. The next thing the soldier had was a breastplate, and that's pretty self-explanatory. It's a plate that covered the chest of the soldier, which would prevent other people from hitting them with spears and things like that. Also, boots and shoes, and this person would have uh, the again, the breastplate protected his chest. Sturdy sandals, shoes, boots, whatever you want to call them. And that that provided stability as the soldier would want to move around. The shield was large enough to cover the whole body, no matter where the soldier might have been going. The helmet, simple, protected the soldier's head from anything from the neck on up. And the sword. The sword is the only offensive weapon that the soldier would have. So Paul uses this analogy of a soldier, and he says, we need to get dressed up like this. We need to have that breastplate, and we need to have the correct foot gear, and we need to have that sword, and we need to have that shield, we need to have that helmet, and we need to have that belt tight around us. Why do we need all this? Because we, my friends, are in a battle, are we not? We are in a battle with the enemy. And because if we want to walk the Christian walk that is set apart from the world, in other words, when we go out there and we don't want to look like the world and we want to be set apart, there is going to be a battle. Satan does not want you, believer, to represent Jesus Christ very well. Some translations of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, some use the word battle, some use the word struggle, some use the word wrestle, and some use the word fight. They're all very similar. But we need to remember this. We are not of this world. We are in the world, right? But we are not of this world. We need to truly represent Jesus Christ out there in this world for the gratitude of what he has done. And there's going to be a fight. There's going to be a battle. There's going to be a wrestle. There's going to be a struggle when we get out there and we do this right. We find six spiritual items in the armor of God. And this is where we're going to finish up here. And these are those fill-in-the-blanks that you have in your bulletin. And maybe you've already gone through and filled those out because you know exactly what the answers are. And I hope you have, and that would be a good thing. Six spiritual items in the armor of God. We talked about those things from the physical side. And now Paul makes the analogy to spiritual things, truth and righteousness, the gospel, faith, salvation, and the Spirit. So the question now becomes, with those six things, how do we put on the armor of God? How do we put on the armor of God? If the armor of God is going to protect me out in this world when the devil is going to really kind of try to bring me down and make me look unchristlike, how do I put on this armor? Okay, you've outlined it well. I see it there. How do I put it on? And this is the part of this whole message that I really want to get down to, because this kind of transformed my life this past week as I read this. And the fill in the blanks would go like this. If you filled them out, and I hope you got the answers right. We are transformed people, right? So it would start off by saying this. We heard the gospel message. We heard the gospel message. First fill in the blank. What did we do after that? We placed our faith in that gospel message. So we heard the message, we placed our faith in that gospel message. And the third one, there's only one thing that sets us free, and that would be the truth. The truth of that message set us free. Set us free. And as a result of that, we received the free gift of salvation from the Father. What happens after that? We then became righteous in the eyes of the Father. When the Father sees us, he sees Christ. We have become righteous in the eyes of the Father. And that only leaves one, and that would be the word Spirit. And then at that point in time, we got saved. The Spirit of God now takes up residence within us. And the Spirit of God guides us, and the Spirit of God directs us. Now you might say, well, that's a good little paragraph there, and I kind of like the way you tied all that in, but here's the point that I hope I can really drive this home here this morning. Christianity is not a walk that any of us should take lightly, and I hope we don't. We are all God's chosen people, and we have been adopted into His family. And we need to remember that. We need to remember that with a heart of gratitude. So where does the whole gratitude part come in? Because this is exactly what happened to us. We were once children of God's wrath. We were once dead in our transgressions. But we heard the gospel message. We placed our faith in that gospel message. The truth of that message set us free, and then we had a salvation from God. And then we became righteous in His eyes. And then the Spirit of God took over to lead us and direct us. I am eternally grateful that that scenario happened to Mike. And I hope you're grateful that that scenario happened to you. But here's the deal, and this is where my notes go out the window. What if we thought of that all the time? What if in every moment of every day, thank you, Lord, for the salvation. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel message. Thank you, Lord, for making me righteous. Thank you, Lord, for the truth. Thank you, Lord, for the Spirit that indwells within me. Wouldn't we not always, always, always have the armor of God on at all times? Get behind me, Satan. I'm suited up. And I got the armor of God on. Because He saved me. He delivered me from you, Satan. I'm still not going to tell him to hit me with his best shot. I'm not going to do that. But I am going to say this. The thing that I learned this week was this. Mike, how grateful are you that you are his child? And as long as I can keep on remembering that he delivered me from something that was going to send me to hell, then I put on the armor of God. The gratitude is what allows me to put on the armor of God. Because now I remember where I was, and now I understand where I am. That, my friends, is the armor of God. We will never win battles out there in this world if we continue to think of how weak we are. We need to remember how strong we are in the Lord, that we have His armor on, that this is something that He did for us. I will always, and so will you, win battles against the enemy when I dwell on what the Lord has done in me. I will always win battles, and so will you, when we dwell on what the Lord has done in us. And that, see that little paragraph of those six fill-in-the-blanks that you have there in your bulletin? And then, once we are empowered by the Holy Spirit, what is it that we do? Then we go out into this world, and now we give that gospel message to somebody else. And we allow that, those six words, to start enriching the life of somebody else. We are saved because we heard the gospel message because somebody was kind enough to share that with us. And now we get to go on out and do the same thing in the life of somebody else. We need to plant, we get the opportunity to plant that seed of the gospel message into their lives. And then the process that you see in your bulletin starts all over again with somebody else. Sin, even with all this said, remember this, sin is still crouching at our door and it desires to have us. That doesn't go away. Not until the day we cross over into glory. And sin still has its consequences, either in some discipline that God puts on us, or some discipline of the blessings that He withdraws from us and that we'll never experience. Sin will take us to a place we don't want to go. And it will keep us there for a period of time longer than we want to stay. And sin will make us pay a price that we can't afford. But this week I'm going to add two things to that. But we have the armor of God. And now we can take a stand. Let's go to God in prayer.